Good morning. Thank you. Let me get my empty chair here. That was awesome. So let's watch a video that Chris has found for me a few years ago, and I've seen this so many times, and every time I learn something new. So let's watch this video.
Work. Most of us spend over half our lives at work. Whatever it is you fill the 9-to-5 with, planting crops, building cars, taking care of patients, teaching students, or running a business, work is where most of life happens. For some, work is a drain. They dread Monday mornings, forcing themselves to struggle through because they need the paycheck, while many times feeling trapped and beaten down by their job. Some people love their work. They're good at what they do. It energizes them. It's a place of security, a place to chase dreams, desires, and success. At work, they find fulfillment. We often forget to connect our faith to our work. We don't consider the reasons God may have us at our job. We don't think about the purpose and meaning we could bring to our work. We simply focus on how it makes us feel. But what if we saw our work as an opportunity to worship? As Christians, we are called to serve Christ with our lives. For a few, that means working as a pastor, a youth minister, or a missionary. Others serve the church by teaching children or singing in the choir. But when Sunday is over, most of us return to our jobs outside the church. For us, our mission is in the marketplace. We may not be the kind of missionary who moves to the far regions of Africa, but around the conference table, around the water cooler, around the cubicle, we have an opportunity to worship the God who created us. He gave us skill. He gave us passion. He gave us work. When we do our jobs with excellence and integrity and diligence, it's an act of worship. We are displaying God's craftsmanship to the non-believing world around us. We are earning the right to be heard. We don't see a divide between Sunday and Monday, between the sacred and the secular. We've been invited into parts of the world that a pastor or traditional missionary will never see. We have conversations with people who would never set foot in a church. Whether we love or dread our work, we choose to turn the focus away from ourselves and toward the mission God has for us. Church is not the only place we worship, and Sundays are not the only days on our calendars that have meaning. Every day on mission for God brings us great joy. Like the heroes before us, we can be modern-day Noahs and Josephs and Peters who are called with a purpose. God has designed us. He created us to work and to worship. For us, work is worship.
How many of you have seen this video before? Not anyone. You're going to have to look at it and watch it over again. Did you like it? Incredible, isn't it? So it talks a lot about what I'm going to share with you. And I just came back from Seattle last night, spent 3 days there and gave 3 talks, filled with a dozen pleasant surprises, including 2 new believers, which is very exciting, and 1 coworker, 18-day coworker who came to listen to my sharing. And Anna doesn't know this yet. This morning, Anna's sharing just kept adding to the pleasant surprises. So this co-worker's Vietnamese-American. And she struggled a lot with her faith. She loved the Christian faith. She even sent her children to Christian preschool. She's afraid to become a Christian because of her parents being Buddhist. So if I may have your permission, I want to introduce you to her and pray for God to do something great. In fact, at the end, when she sent me back, I prayed with her and prayed for her, and she cried. So the Spirit really touched her. So thank you for inviting me. I'm honored and privileged to speak to you all. I love the Kairos family and the whole AMI. Chris and Charlene have been with the AMI family for 10 years. You are a Spirit-filled family. You love mission. You have a great mission mind. So I'm very proud of you, and thank you for being a good audience with me to share my passion. So call to work, and it was very good. Anna mentioned a few things that I'm going to keep reinforcing. It's just many pleasant surprises. She talked about how God did not just call Pastor Peter and asked her to be full-time, Pastor Emerson. He called every one of us to work. And we get paid too. And we are truly in a full-time ministry. Not only after now that we retire, we enter into full-time ministry. No, we were and you are in full-time ministry already, and you get paid. And along with that, we also serve, right, as Sunday school teachers, as the worship team leaders, as the deacons, and different things you serve in the community. Do we get paid for those? No. But that's okay, right? So we have a dual ministry career that we are serving. And I'm hoping at the end of the next 40 minutes, you'll resonate with me and go home and get ready and excited tomorrow morning when you go to work and say, thank God, it's Monday. And we wish you have a restaurant that's TGIM, right? Maybe someday some of you will open that restaurant. So thank you for the kind introduction. And I want to really share with you from my heart what I've experienced in my 33 years working and what does it mean to respond to God's call. You ready? And when I talk, you get to talk too, because you don't get to fall asleep. So I'll be asking you some trick questions. Which way do I point? That way, okay. My son is my technical IT expert. All right, so you've all heard of these three statements, haven't you? Very sad. Doing work we don't really like. Making money we don't really need. Pleasing people we don't really care. Don't tell who it is in here. And we should really care a lot more about our being, right? Who we are in our character. That's what we call human being, right? We're not called human having or human doing. So it's about who we are in our character. So these are sad statements, and I hope none of us get to say a lot of this, right? So this is to contrast what God really meant for call, our calling to work to mean to us. So I want us to answer this question during the next 40 minutes. Who do we work for? Why do we work? Do we just want to work because we want to get a paycheck? It's work more than a paycheck. In fact, during your fasting week, in one of the prayer meetings, I heard, is Justin here? Justin Chu? My maid of honor son. Hi, Justin. He's my maid of honor son. He shared during prayer meeting, I heard, I've got some spy watching. And he shared, for those of you in that prayer meeting with Justin, he shared that work is more than a paycheck. Woohoo, exactly. And he shared about his faith at work. So I'm so thankful for that. So we're going to ask yourself, hey, so is work secular or is work sacred? Trick question. So it's both. Okay, some people smart, right? Both. And politicians will say it depends. So how would it be both? So what defines secular and sacred? And you saw in the video, right? There was like two cliffs. And what's in between the secular cliff and the sacred cliff? A bridge. You pay attention. Good. So we are there to bridge. So in a way, it's both. In a way, what would God want us to think work to be? Sacred or secular? So what does sacred mean? Sacred is when who is present? When God is present. So is God present in your workplace? Amen. That's the question. So in the morning, when you go to work, say goodbye to your spouse and your children, your roommate. Goodbye, I'll see you tonight. Make sure you don't say, hey, Jesus, I'll see you tonight. Enjoy the homestay. That will be a disaster because that's what I want to help you with is to take Jesus to work. And what do you have in your office? Empty chair. Why do we have an empty chair? Who's that for? Jesus, to remind us, in all my 33 years working, he's involved in my every decision, every conversation, every difficulty, every political situation. I'll share with you my Sunday night blue. Every Sunday night I cry for a year. How did God get involved? So I want to help you to know work is totally what? Secular? It's totally sacred because we are God's children. We are bringing Jesus with us. Now, if you don't bring Jesus with you, then your work is secular. Got it. But if you're really a child of God, you have Jesus in your heart, in your life, you will bring Jesus to work. So that's my goal this morning. And a lot of times, when we say workplace ministry, I'll be honest with you. It's not about sharing the gospel directly to your coworkers. It's not about bring the Bible and pound people's head. Hey, you got to believe in Jesus. Hello? Did my company pay me to share the gospel at work? No. What did the company pay me to do? To do a good job, deliver on revenue, deliver good service to the customers. And what did the video say? You could do good work and you can earn the right to share the good news at the right time, at the right place. So what I also encourage you to think when you think about marketplace ministry, not just about sharing the gospel, is also about receiving blessings from God. So I'm not talking about prosperity gospel, that God will help you make lots of money in your salary and get a lot of promotion. That could still be. God can bless you with that. So it's not about prosperity gospel. It's about taking Jesus to work. And what does Jesus do? He blesses us. So I've experienced all my 33 years how God blessed me in every situation, even in the most difficult time. And then, of course, when we receive blessing, what do we do also? Be a blessing to other people. That's what marketplace ministry mean to me. I take Jesus to work, fully experience Christ's presence, receive his blessing, and be a blessing to other people. And that way, we are salt and light and living out the word of God in action, walking the talk. And people see us. And we are now being Jesus to people, right? Being hands and feet of Jesus and words of encouragement to Jesus. So that's what I want to share with you this morning. So let's read this verse together from Genesis 2:15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. So whose idea work is from? God. Is God a worker? Of course. And in the prayer that Annie did, she kept saying how God is working in our lives, right? So it's God's idea. So is God a blessing or is it a curse? Another trick question. And don't say both. Is work a blessing or work a curse? Yes, you got it. So when was the human race fall? When did Adam and Eve sin? What chapter in Genesis? Sunday school teacher? Chapter 3, you got it. I heard girls. Yes, sisters. So chapter 3, and what chapter is the work from? 2. So is it before or after the fall? That's it. So it's a blessing. God wants work to be a blessing for us. So guess what? Who's our CEO at work? God is our big boss. Year 2000, Fortune magazine. Who reads Fortune magazine? Nobody. Okay. So Fortune magazine, cover page. But how many of you heard of Fortune magazine? It's okay, you don't read it, fine. So cover page, title is, God is my CEO, can you imagine? And they interview many successful executives, managers, workers to find out how is God their CEO because they are committed Christian. And in that magazine, I also found and tracked down. I'm good at tracking people down, so you watch out. I tracked down one of the executives from JP Morgan Chase being interviewed, and I invited her to come and speak at our annual Call to Work conference. Very amazing. So God is my CEO, and at work, I have 3 goals. So my 3 goals at work is, first, honor God, right? God is my CEO, I give him the glory. Second, bless people around me. And starting with blessing my boss. And you all working, raise your hand if you're working. You got a paid job, outstanding. And raise your hand if you're a student, right? Many of you. Are you going to be working? I hope so, right? So good. That's why you're in the school. Okay, good. So when you work, the second goal is to help your boss to be successful. Help them to shine. Help them to deliver value and revenue for the company. Is that a good thing? Yes, you better believe it. The third goal is to help my coworkers and my subordinates to be successful so much that they can take over my job. Is that good? Am I going to lose my job? Am I going to worry about that? Would my company want me to multiply leaders and empower them to take over my job and do more of what I do? Yes. And am I going to worry about losing my job? No, if I'm good at multiplying leader, I'll do something else, right? So those are my three goals. And from these three goals, I learned to do 360-degree leadership. And we're going to talk some of that in my Equip series for the workplace. And John Maxwell wrote a very famous book, 360-degree leadership, and I would spend 2 weeks teaching in Zhongyuan University in Taiwan as a short-term mission to 150 college students about 360-degree leadership. So we don't have 2 weeks right here, so I'll just do a 3 second. That we lead not because we have a title, not because I'm a director or you're a manager. You don't need a title to lead. And Annie said it so well in her prayer. The children can influence friends that we cannot influence. So John Maxwell defined leadership with the big word, I word, influence. So I can influence my boss, I can influence my peers, I can influence people below me. So it's a 360 degrees. So we leave it at that for now. So how many of you read Chinese? A few? Okay, so some of you know and some of you don't. I'll explain it. So a lot of times when we say work, right, there are a few terms for work. One is vocation, okay? Better to say vocation than occupation. Don't just try to occupy a seat and say, I have an occupation. It's a vocation. God vocally called us to work, so it's not an occupation. And it's a vocation in Chinese is 事业. And I then realized job is another word for work, says 工作. And a few years ago, I realized a very special wordplay. When I combined the first word of both, it became 事工. What does 事工 means? Ministry. Isn't that awesome? Woohoo! So I was fascinated. You know, of course, we know many Chinese characters have a lot of biblical roots, but this one, I don't know if anyone has discovered that. And I don't know if I'm the first one, but at least no one told me about it. So I'm probably the first one. I just love it. In Chinese character, they already told us that work is also a ministry and we get paid too, yes. So you all saw the video, so let's move on. So God works. Look at these people. Who are these people? Who do you not recognize them? Are they your neighbors or friends or who are they? From the Bible. Do they have jobs? Do they have vocation? You see all the jobs? Some of you may have some of these jobs. Right? Who's the musician, right? Do you see some of your jobs in here? Right? Some of you have these jobs. And God cares a lot about our work. Do you think he cares? Totally. Absolutely. He wants to be there with you. Let's read this last line together. Teach us how to take our jobs more seriously and ask WWJD as we call to work. Build your kingdom on earth and it is in heaven. What does WWJD mean? What would Jesus do? Always ask. In a situation at work, what would Jesus do? In our ministry website, calltowork.org, we have many resources, including this prayer and a few other prayers that you can start every workday with in the morning, other than setting, in addition to setting up a chair for Jesus. A very quick background about myself. I was born in Hong Kong, came from Hong Kong. Any people from Hong Kong? Yeah, Ruth and all my Cantonese Canto people. Lei hao, lei hao. I was living on the edge. As a child, our family was homeless at one point, and I was a troublemaker. I know I don't look like it now, but I was a troublemaker. And as a teenager, God allowed some good people helping us to come to America as refugees. Then we work in restaurants. I was a waitress, so I'm really good at waiting tables and chairs. I don't mean chairs, but tables. And then God opened my eyes and my heart and changed my life and helped me to become a Christian, become a child of God. And he changed me from a troublemaker to a peacemaker. And my life started in a new chapter in an amazing way. I couldn't have gone to high school, let alone college and graduate school. And yet God has his mercy, had many miracles, and allowed me to go to Cornell, where I met my husband, where I studied electrical engineering and material science. So I did semiconductor and things in the early days, just like our son, Christopher. Thank you for following my footsteps. Just kidding. So then AT&T hired me and put me through graduate school in Princeton. I'm not that smart. Trust me, I'm not. I just know how to study. So if you want to know how to study, talk to me. And I know how to take exam and really do well, but really not that smart. And then I worked for AT&T for 33 years, and the rest is history. We spent 28 years in New Jersey. God equipped us in a big way when we serve in just one church and one church alone. And children, youth ministry, college and young adult ministry, and most of all, the faith and work ministry through Call to Work for 22 years. And then God used AT&T to move us to Dallas, and we moved there with tears and complaints and struggles and being upset and saying no. We did not have the faith to say yes. We were no, and yet we reluctantly went because of all the horror story we heard about Dallas. And yet God made a beautiful five-year experience for us and used our equipping in New Jersey and really used us to serve many, many organizations and churches in Dallas. And then at the climax of my career, which I'll tell you next, God told us to retire and move to San Diego. Yes, San Diego, here we came. So we moved here last year, although as some of you know, the longest duration staying in San Diego was 12 days, which is a shame. All my friends came and said, why do you travel so much? It's so beautiful here. So anyway, we're happy to be in San Diego for last year. So here's my career journey. I started with semiconductor and did a lot of different technology. And how many jobs did I have in 33 years? 16. God was involved in every one of those decisions. I knew exactly God's will through every job change. 16 years, from technology to business to marketing to sales. And through it all, my climax was my last job when I worked on software-defined network or network on demand. It was a project that no one wants to do. Do you want to do any project that no one wants to do? That's a trick question. And that's a politician answer. You say, depends. Right? Depends if you have the calculator risk and the faith and the talent to say, yes, I can do it. If you can do a project that no one wants to do, then it's very successful, right? Then you shine really nicely. If you're not ready to do it and you don't have the talent, then you can fail and you'll be falling flat on your face. So be careful, right? We see God in every step. So God gave me the confirmation. Go ahead and do it. Amazingly, in 3 months, August to October 2017, by the grace of God and for God's glory, once I got involved and my VP would say, thank God Elaine is running this project. Every morning he woke up, he just thanked God. And God allowed us to turn the whole production challenge around, increase the production volume 10 times in 3 months. And we received 3 awards in 3 months. Remarkable. At the climax of our career, God told us to retire. At that decision, God was very clear when to retire, how to retire, and where to retire. Extremely clear. There are many stories that we don't have time to talk about right now. And how long did Jesus live? 33 years. So 33 years. I'm not saying everyone has to work for 33 years. 33 years, we don't have to be crucified, but we have a new chapter. We're very thankful. So we don't call retirement, we are refinement. In Chinese, it's 退休, 退而不休, so it's a refinement. So we're busier than ever. So at our retirement, I receive a book like this, and you can come take a look, and I'll tell you more story about this. And in there are people who wrote many amazing things. Give God all the glory. One of the co-workers wrote, your work ethics, your dedication, without question, is really good. More importantly is how I marry my work with my faith and my giving heart and committed faith and really leaving a legacy for them for years to come. That's such a really encouraging word that they have left with me. So some of you know I love acrostic. So ready for one of the many to come this morning. Drive. So my experience in the 33 years is to learn to live the drive. How do I drive? To really think of a kingdom mind in the workplace as God calls. Some of you may have heard the phrase, God does not call the qualified, but he qualifies the call. So whenever God calls you to a certain job, he would equip you. That's why you have an equip series, right? Duh. And then he'll make sure you're ready for the job. And I really want us to think about our work and our family and our faith and community as a whole integrated life. It's not compartmentalized. And don't appear differently in different places. And ultimately, from all that, we'll live an integrated whole life, and it's a satisfying life, not those three statements that we opened this morning with. So I start with sharing with you how we're going to discover. Everyone should have some 5P in your life, which I'll share with you what that means, and how that would help you know work is more than a paycheck, and that we can all say thank God is yes. We'll say that really loud and proud later. And then R is to review our strength, right? God gifted us, every one of us, with unique strength, unique talents that no one else has. And that God placed you in that place with your personal brand to help influence others and work with a team. And then integrate. I is integrate all these 5P, which you're going to see next, in all aspects of your life, not just at work, but also in your family. And I'll explain how that works. And then V is to view others better than yourselves. How you would be humble and work well with other people and be a servant leader of integrity. And that's a theme of our Equip series to come, starting this Friday. And last but not least is E, excellence. God wants us to do an excellent job and be successful. And we're going to find out what success means as we offer our life as living sacrifice. So here's our 5P. So this is a different 5P from the 5P blessing I give you when you have your birthday. If you're my Facebook friend. My Facebook friend, raise your hand. Yeah, so you can all know. So this is a different 5P. Everyone would need to know what your 5P is in your life, whether in your life at large or a particular chapter in your life, in your family or particular job decision. Here it goes. What is the purpose in your life at large? So here's another pleasant surprise with Anna. All along, I would tell people, my overall purpose in my life is to enjoy God's love and share God's love with other people. And that applies to work as well. And guess what? The CEO of SeaWorld published a book. He's also a Christian. And he said, and the title of the book is Love Works. Look it up. So he did not mean romantic love. He meant sacrificial, unconditional love at work would work. Is what he meant. So I'm so happy he resonated with my purpose. And then principle, right? Where do we get our guiding principles? Typical Sunday school answer? Bible, right? Bible, Jesus, God, okay? So Bible give us guiding principle, help us to have wisdom, to have the right decision criteria. Of course, in addition to the Bible, we all have our own experience, our family background, all that will be the principle that we'll live by. So that will help you make decision. And then the third P is your passion. What's your passion? So I met with the Sunday school teachers this morning, and I've taught Sunday school for 30 years. My passion is teaching. When I was little, you know how you play kitchen? Some children play kitchen. Maybe the boys play Star Wars or something. I play classroom. So I would be the teacher and I put chairs and all my friends would sit down. So my passion all my life was as a teacher. So passion is something that you love doing even when you don't get paid. Do our Sunday school teachers get paid? No, but we love it. So I use my passion of teaching at work, teaching my people, others, and teaching. I do a lot of mentoring now with young people, and then I teach wherever I go. I just teach. I love teaching. So that's my passion. So this is your internal soul searching, knowing these first three P's. And then the next two P's are external. When you go outside, you have to know your P, knowing working with people. And that's all about the I word that Annie prayed about, influence. So we'll learn a lot in the Equip series. How do we interact with people? How do you influence others? And then last, and everybody wants to go there, is performance, right? The tippy top, the pyramid, the top of the pyramid. So that needs you building up this whole foundation. So we're going to learn about those in the Equip series. So with these 5P to help us with the drive, the one that we're going to focus on is people relationships. I'm going to share a little bit in the next 15 minutes left. How do I use God's teaching to influence others in my 33 years career, even in the most difficult time? So this is my very simple definition, 12 words. what leadership stands for. Let's read all that together. Ability. So it's not control and command. It's not to boss people around or push them. It's to influence. Do you need a title to lead? No. Everyone can influence. You can influence your parents. You can influence your boss, your brothers and sisters, and people who work for you. And you want them to be their best, right? Help them to be their best and use their potential and talent. And is it for their good or for my good? No, for the greater good, that we can accomplish something great as a team. So other than Call to Work, another organization I'm associated with, and you see a banner outside, is CU Global. We go around the world to teach the servant leaders of integrity. It started in 2004 in Asia, and now we have 30 universities that we are teaching this. And I was in Seattle because we just launched into a university there. So it's really amazing. So I'm happy that we're going to teach some of that for you in the Equip series coming up. So for I and integrate the 5P, how are we going to do that? So in our life, we have these three C's, always. It covers our calling. So whatever God's calling is for you. For me, I just love to be a teacher for life. Second C is your career, right? We all have some kind of career. And then the third C, sorry, went in too fast. And the third C is your community. The community includes your family, your friends, your work, right? So these people, so these three C, it's hard to balance, right? You don't just like slice the pizza pie and balance it, because it's hard. Once you're off balance, you feel uncomfortable. So here's what I learned in my few decades of experience in these three C, which is remarkable. So I want to share with you early on so that as you are so young, all of you are so young. I worked for 33 years. Many of you are not even 33 years old, so excited to share with you. You're like a clean sheet of paper. Quite clean, right? So I'm praying that God is your artist working in your life and draw a masterpiece in your life, turn into a beautiful painting. In my case, as I look back in my few decades, I really learned, and in my painting, I see God actually didn't want us to balance these three. Turns out these three converge with each other so much that they are really all integrated. What am I saying? So what I told you about, I love teaching Sunday school, right? So who learned the most when you teach Sunday school? The teacher, right? Because you have to prepare all the questions that students may be asking you. And then what do we practice when we teach? Public speaking. Now, I'm not saying because you want to gain public speaking skills so you go teach Sunday school. No. You're passionate. You want to teach the Word of God to the young generation. But praise God. He equipped me with a lot of good public speaking, right? So I don't have to, right? So I build really good confidence how to present. Why do I need to how to present? Because I do that for work, right? How many of you have to present at work? Right? Many of us do. So we have to learn how to speak with confidence and don't let people fall asleep when you present, right? And then from work, my company sent me to all kinds of leadership training at Columbia, at Wharton, at Cornell, and then we have our own leadership training. Are those helpful just for work? Can I use that for church? Does the church need to be led? Does the church need to be organized? Yes. And then all that, right, from my career, and my calling, can I bring it back to my community, to my family? Yes. So our children see us working and serving, and they know how our faith works. So all that is a conversion. Now, I'm not saying prepare your Sunday school at work. No. And I'm not saying do your work at church on Sunday. No. I don't mean the time convergence. I mean the experience and the skill convergence. So it's a beautiful picture that we are in the process of being putting into a masterpiece painting and a whole person discipleship. Isn't that great? So it's very exciting. Don't think about, oh, if I'm serving church, I'm missing out something from work. No, they all add together. As we do all that, I do want to remind us how to balance everything. And that's part of what I would cover in the Equip series on life management. Time management. You don't work yourself to death and then exhausted and, you know, cannot do anything. That's not what I meant, right? When we offer ourselves as living sacrifice, in Romans 12 it says, it's about also taking care of ourselves, right? How many of you are good with self-care? I'm not saying selfish, me, myself, and I, right? No, not just about, not really about selfish, it's about self-care. So we're going to talk about how to take care of ourselves and make sure we have good relationship with God, with people, and while working and also relaxing. So healthy habits are a very important thing. So to reflect back, this is how we have converged our life in the last few decades. Through education, through our career, through our serving in the church, in the community, in universities. And then now, and I always said, God is very Asian. Sorry for my non-Asian friends. God does not waste anything. God is so Asian. All my life journey, even when I was poor, when I was homeless, God used every aspect of it. You see, now God is using all that experience that I can go around and share and teach with any different groups who have a need. And most, the greatest passion for me is to help people, churches, organizations, and companies to take Jesus to work. That's the greatest passion. And then all these experience is just really a blessing. So a couple more comments from my coworkers as I retire. So here's one who said, you truly take Jesus to work with you and allow his light to shine. Did I tell you the meaning of my name, Elaine? No? So I picked this name for my dictionary when I was in high school. I was not a Christian. I have no idea what Elaine means. I picked it because I don't want to be Mary and Jane. I hope there's no Mary and Jane here. So I don't want like a typical name, right? So I picked Elaine. But turns out, after I became a Christian, I found out what it means. Do you know what it means? Light, right? God works in an amazing way. Here's one last card. You have been such an incredible inspiration to me. You've shown what it looks like to bring the joy of the Lord with you everywhere you go, because we take Jesus with us everywhere we go, to the movies, to the restroom, to the restaurant, wherever we go, including work. I've always found it difficult, this is a Christian speaking, difficult to find meaning in my work, right? Like the video told us. And I feel hard to tie my faith to the work, but you really have demonstrated that. So do you think it's easy to take Jesus to work? No, it's easier said than done. But is it right to take Jesus to work? Yes, it will be a disaster if you don't. So let me wrap up with some of my experience and some tips. How do we take Jesus to work? Of course, an acrostic, right? Let's read this verse, Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. This is biblical justice for, whose is our CEO? There you go. God is our CEO. So heart, whatever we do, we need to take with our heart. So heart stands for humility for me in H. A lot of times, we may be secret agents at work. 007. Undercover agent. Why? Because I don't have good testimony. I don't want to shame the name of Jesus. Is that a good reason? Yeah? No. So when we make mistakes, when we don't have the right testimony, what do? You have the humility to apologize. We're not perfect. I made a lot of mistakes at work, and they know that I'm a Christian, not just wearing the faith on my sleeve, but acting and walking the talk and say, I'm sorry. I was wrong. I was talking too fast, which is typical, as you can tell. And I was jumping into a conclusion. I misunderstood you. I apologize, right? We Christians are blessed with the courage and the wisdom to say apologies. Why? Who set the example for us? Jesus was so humble until death, so much that he died on the cross for us. So God help us and empower us to have humility. And then E stands for emotional quotient. We're going to spend a lot of time in the Equip series to learn about that. Adversity quotient, how do you deal with adversity? How do you build grit? How to look at your strength, your talent, and use your IQ. So when I interview employees or interview students applying to Cornell and Princeton, I look for these three Qs. I always look for, and I help people to do mock interview to look for jobs. I help them to make sure they define these three Qs and find examples and say in a very concise and articulate way. So these three Qs are important, right? EQ, how well do you work with people? AQ, how do you learn from adversity and mistakes so you don't make the same mistake over and over again? It's important to have AQ because we fail at work, so you know how to handle failures. And then IQ, for most of us here, or maybe all of us, we don't have issue with IQ, right? We're all smart people, right? So IQ is less of an issue. Most important is to make sure we use our strength at work. And then T is teachable, always learning, and S is to share and pray. So can we share gospel with people? And I'll share a story about that. So my definition, another 12-word definition for emotional quotient. Let's read that together. Don't let change your value, control your response. How often and so often we became prisoners and captive of people's words and actions. Who's responsible for the words and actions? Are we responsible for their words and actions? No. So don't take on the burden of what people say and what people do. Don't let those change our value and control our response. Don't have us just let us blow out and react. Help us to prayerfully consider how to respond. That's what we're going to talk a lot about in our Equip series. And then from Romans 12, this is my favorite section of the Bible. That is so practical. Every phrase you can practice, how this applies in your workplace. How does Romans 12, 9 to 21, love in action, show us how to build EQ, how to work with people, and how to really be a peacemaker, right? And that's what God wants us to be, a peacemaker. Doesn't mean that we're going to be stepped on and be taken advantage of. And I'll give you an example of that. Of course, peace. Another acrostic. I won't go into detail, but all these are skills that I find important for my decades of experience working. And that's what we're going to be learning on the Equip series. How to provide positive peer pressure instead of negative peer pressure. How to have effective communication, be articulate and character-based. How to have an appealing interpersonal skill and build teams and be a good leader. How to solve or resolve conflicts, and how do you build up the EQ? So that's what it means to me as a piece. So we don't mean for us to be stepped on. So here's a verse that helped me to deal with politics at work, the negative politics. Let's read that together from Matthew 10, 16. I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Don't tell your coworkers that they're wolves. I don't mean that. Just saying, when you run into challenges and satanic attacks, what the world, the secular, may pull you down, I don't mean for us Christians to be stepped on like a carpet. And God has taught me that in the next story I'm going to tell you. God showed me how to be shrewd as snake and innocent as doves. And when we have low EQ, this is what people would do. Do you resonate with this? Don't have to raise your hand. Right? When you have low EQ, you tend to groan. You tend to gossip. You tend to revenge. You tend to be obsessive with self-pity. It's all my fault. I'm so sorry. And it's like, this is happening to me. We may be against the Bible value. We're negative in our reaction. And we're selfish in our agenda. That's low EQ symptoms. So we don't want to groan. What do we want to do? We want to shine. So how do we shine and develop high EQ, right? We know very well Matthew 5, 16. Let's read that verse. This is one of my life verses. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So what does shine stand for? S is servanthood. We're going to learn a lot of that in the Equip series. And it's powerful. You guys all heard about the term servant leadership? Sound like an oxymoron, right? It's not. It's really powerful. In fact, corporate America adopted and embraced it. And in fact, when you look at some corporate organization chart, instead of a pyramid that you saw earlier and the CEO was on the top and the employees in the bottom, do you know what they show? They actually show a reverse pyramid. You're exactly right, brother. So the CEO is in the bottom. Why? He's there to serve the employees and the customers. So servant leadership, servanthood, other-centered leadership. H is humility, we talked about earlier, listening, collaborating, learn from mistake. I is integrity. What's the definition of integrity? Doing the same right thing, whether people are watching or not, right? Whether at work, at home, or at church, you're the same person. It's not like you're an angel at church and you turn into something else, I won't say, at home or at work, right? So it would be integrated, the same, integrity, integrated. Nurture respect. Respect is powerful to build teamwork and relationship. And then again, EQ, how to take the high road. So I'll give you an example how I take the high road. I told you, thank God it's Monday. Exciting. Except 1 year. I cry every Sunday night. 2011. There are some very difficult people at work. They took people away from me. They took projects away from me. Very political. I cried. My children, my husband, pray with me. We read the Bible so that I have enough courage, enough faith to face Monday. And this whole year, what's amazing, all the ones I just shared with you, right? Shrewd as a snake, innocent of as a dove, and all Romans 12 became so real for me. So much that the so-called enemies became friends. The best way to get rid of your enemy is not to kill them. It's to take Jesus to work and help and then change them into friends. And believe it or not, one of those made this for me. And they planned a whole retirement party with 100 people for me. So after a year, God opened the door for me to go to a different job. And then a few jobs later, I worked with the same people again. But this time was very positive. And then the one person who planned a party and did all this for me wrote this. It's been an absolute pleasure working with you. We have been through some crazy times. She meant the dark times, the ugly times, the difficult times, through the different organizations. And through it all, you impressed me and those around you with your grace, kindness, and positive attitude. Praise the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Not saying that we have to be stepped on. So praise the Lord. It is possible. It's not easy, but it's possible, and it's very needed. Last is excellence. We all want to do excellence. Of course, another acrostic. Now, I cannot take credit for this one. It was in our work Bible study. Every week we have Bible study in all my 30 years of career. And one time we study success, and at the end of the study, we came up with what success means. And this is where I'm going to share my last story with you, how to share the gospel. S is salvation testimony. So is it okay to share the gospel at work? Yes, you could, right? In lunchtime, in after work, and you are shining as salt and light, and you should be the walking gospel in itself, right? And people will ask you, and I'll tell you that story at the end. And then understand God's plan. I told you all my 16 jobs, God made it very clear. That's his plan for me. And have compassion, which is part of our EQ, Christ-centered, encouraging. And none of this can be done without the strength from God. Every day, God's word, prayer with him, taking Jesus to work, helping me, and our prayer support with each other, and then the servant leaders. So here's the story about sharing the gospel. This is the VP right here between me and Dominic. He was the one who assigned me to the project that no one wants to do. He always joked that he really appreciated my strength and he tried to hire me for 3 years and he finally hired me. And then he put me into that project. And he's the one who had this whole idea of the big retirement party. And he's the one who asked everybody, to my surprise, because they know I love acrostic. So everybody, and you read them in here, using my name to, don't worry, Elaine Kong, to share what they think about me. Praise the Lord, all for God's glory. So do you see these consistent with our Christian faith? right? Consistent with who you are at home, at work, and at church. And here's the story. One night, all God's orchestration, pleasant surprises, every day, nonstop. So one night, I was working late, finishing up, rushing to go to Bible Study Fellowship, BSF, Monday night, 6 o'clock. That morning, I always take the train to work in Dallas. So that morning, for some reason, for a certain circumstance, I went to a train station that I never usually went. And so happened, this train station is very close to where he lived. So he said, where are you rushing to? I said, this train station. I said, oh, it's close to my house. I'll take you. So on the car ride to the train station, he asked me, because he knows my background and he knows how I work and my family history. He said, Elaine, what's your turning point? Ooh, so he asked me. Of course, my turning point is my Christian faith. How God changed me from a troublemaker to a peacemaker, from someone who's poor, and God opened doors for me. So I share my testimony, right? 1 Peter 3:15 said, when we're asked for the reason for our hope, that we'll be prepared to share and respond with gentleness and respect. So I did that. Monday night, 7:30. I'm sorry, 6:30, right? Tuesday morning at 7 a.m., he sent me a text. He said, Elaine, thank you for sharing your story. He didn't confess to be a Christian yet, not quite. But he said, I found this TED Talk link, and he sent me the link. And this speaker talks about the meaning of life that is greater than yourself. And it's about serving others. It's similar to what I shared with on the car. And he was so excited. He said, however, yours is more powerful and more systematic. Praise the Lord. So we pray for his salvation. So to close, my goal, hopefully, is helping you to say, is your work just for paycheck? No, it's more than your paycheck, right? And what do you say tonight and going home and tomorrow go to work? Thank God it's Monday. Yes, praise God. So our ministry, I'll just go through really quickly. So the Equip series, these are the topics we're going to learn. These are the topics. If you finish all these, you'll get a certificate of leadership from CEO Global. And we don't have class on the 8th because of the retreat. And then the 22nd, we have work as worship. Hopefully, you can find simulcast in San Diego, or maybe your church can host one, which is amazing. It's like a half-day retreat that I'm going to Dallas for. So, last acrostic. Are you done with acrostic with me? So, C is God created each one of us to work with your talents. A, we're always available to help other people. L is always ready to learn and lead. And we'll talk more about how to make resumes that are compelling on your what and the how in our Equip series. And then E is to encourage, because we get paid too, right? That's good. And then D is delight in seeking God. Like in Psalm 37:4 said, delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And that's been my testimony. So I'm going to just fly through the next few slides about call to work that we started in 96. And Chris was always my IT guy when he was home. And then these are the topics that we did on conferences. They're very practical. There's some examples here. And I don't invite pastors. So Pastor Peter's not here. Good, right? He's in Atlanta. I don't invite pastors. I invite practitioners. I invite White House staff and executives to come and speak, how they apply the Christian faith in the workplace. These are some of the speakers I invited. An amazing miracle. A few years ago in Dallas, they have this Faith and Work Summit. Five of them all showed up from the 22 years of speaking, including Ed Moy. He's a Chinese-American. He started the Bible study first in the White House. He worked for the two Bush administration. In fact, his wife was my first speaker using the title Call to Work. That's why we named the ministry after the title. And he was the director of Mint. He served, you know, printing money. And in fact, the year that he spoke to us was year 2003, and our theme was In God We Trust at Work. You know, the money sets that, right? And he signed, and it was 2003. And then he became a director of Mint, printing money, in 2006. Amazing. Later on. So there are people from Tim Keller's church, Dallas Theological Seminary, so different people, really thankful. Now we partner with AFC, Ambassador for Christ, around the country, and also many different churches invite me to speak on work as worship. And so they have missions conference. I call that Chinese Inferno. How many of you have been CMC? You guys been there a couple. So, right, you did. So I call the Chinese Urbana once every 3 years, but they have it in East Coast, they have it in West Coast, and we just came back from Houston. So it's every 3 years in three regions. So every year I would go and speak on call to work and faith and mission. So we have a lot of resources on our website. We send a weekly email, and we have prayers like this. You can find on our website, calltowork.org. Short email, a short prayer to help you set your mind for work. And these are examples of resources. They're very simple. They're here in the binder. You can flip through it. They're all online, one pager. How to set up Bible study, who do you work for, how do you deal with workaholism. And then these are the weekly email example. Every Wednesday morning, if you're interested, please send me a message or email. And this is very short, a Bible verse, and then the commentary and an application. That's my last line. So no one can leave my talk without homework assignment because I'm a Sunday school teacher. So think of all that I just shared with you. What change are you going to make? Did you learn something that you're going to take to your work or school? Anyone? No one. Show me your hand. Everyone hopefully got something. So here's the thing. Plus sign means you something you're going to start doing, something you've never done. Perhaps you didn't have an empty chair. So you may have an empty chair or do the five-minute prayer or have a prayer partner at work. What are you going to stop doing? Like gossip? Stop complaining? Stop doing anything unbiblical? How about something you do more? You're already doing it, which is great. You're already praying for your managers and customer. You do more. You multiply that. And you're already meditating on God's word. You do more. And then maybe you're doing self-care, so you do more about that. And then last, do less. Maybe you're already doing less slacking off. And then the other extreme is that you're already doing less on workaholics. So pray that we'll learn how to balance that. Let's pray.